Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beneath Vancouver Radio. I know we've been a little bit of a hiatus in the month of October, but we're kicking off November strong here. Episode number 65 of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm here with special guest Vivian from Kith and Kin. Vivian, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks, Aaron, for asking. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's nice and sunny here in Vancouver, which is a rare occurrence this time of year. So you know what? I'm already smiling. You know, even Saturday morning, we're off to a great start.
Yeah. Like 2 weeks of rain? Like nonstop
That? Yeah. I think an occasional sun break every now and then. But if you're a Vancouverite, you definitely know the kind of rain that we get here in the fall. So any sun is greatly appreciated and love to spend it, obviously, to hear a little bit more about you, Vivian, and what it is you do. So as all of our guests know, if you've tuned to the episodes before, we'll kick off with the first question. Vivian, who are you today?
Today, that's a great question. So I guess by day, I am a marketer, and by night and weekends, I am the founder of Kith and Kin, a Chinese wellness company here in Vancouver, BC.
I like it. I like it. And marketer by day, what do you mean by that? Let's dive deeper into that, and then we'll talk about Kith and Kin in a little bit.
For sure. So I work full time as a marketer. I do mainly retention marketing. I don't know if that's of interest to anyone, but
there might be someone out there tuning in.
You're like, oh, like, you know, what do you do at work? I work for a large national company here in Canada in marketing. So, yeah.
Nice. So that's your...
Also, I am a full-time dog mom, so that's just day and night now.
That's just 24/7 around the clock, I'm sure.
Yeah, and last night with the fireworks, like 2 a.m.
bargain. Yeah. Yeah, we are recording this Halloween weekend, so it's that time of year again for the fireworks and everything like that. So we know about Vivian during the day, but you also said obviously the founder of Kith and Kin. Can you share a little bit more about like the origin story behind that? I know we had mentioned offline or off the record that we actually met originally at a networking event. You know, when those were still a thing in the day.
In person.
This is not virtual, where you actually go and meet the physical human beings interaction.
What's that like? I don't know.
But we actually met at an event. How actually do you know Josh from Juice Labs? Was that just kind of like a mutual connection or?
So that Juice Labs event was the first time I met Josh. Honestly, I don't remember. I think I met someone in the organizing committee for that event.
For the event, right.
At another event. And I think she reached out and asked if I'd be interested in attending. And yes, of course. And then so I met all you wonderful folks. But that seems like...
That was an eternity ago. That was February of 2020. Yeah, February, I think, right before everything started kind of.
So we got lucky.
Crazy. Yeah, we were able to do that event. But yeah, let's hear a little bit more about that origin story. And I'm sure people, as I know, this podcast revolves people in business, entrepreneurs within like the Vancouver community. And they might have stumbled. I know have a couple of episodes and a couple of guests where people say, oh, yeah, I stumbled on this person's page before on like my Discover feed and stuff like that. So I'm sure people might be interested in learning a little bit more. So we'll let you share about that story.
Sure. Do you know the origin story of Kith and Kin, or do you know what the name means?
I took a look at your website and it's, I believe, like, I love you, right? Or something like that. Or I love your friends.
Kith and Kin is... Old English. So it's actually was spelled with an I instead of the Y's. So Kith and Kin is Old English for friends and family, which is at the root of Chinese and Asian culture. And so my company being a Chinese wellness company, I'm very, I like to focus a lot on my roots and the benefits of Chinese herbal wellness, of course, but really using that as a way to share, you know, Chinese culture and tradition and knowledge. Right. Really. Yeah.
No, I like that. And what was that kind of inspiration? Were you always sort of wanting to start something on your own? As you said, like you're a marketer by day. Was that like, you know what, I also got to be a little bit busy at night or something like that? What was kind of the inspiration behind actually starting the business? I mean, that's not a simple task as a lot of these guests know.
Yeah, for sure. I think my career, like professional career, is not linear. Like I did not go to school and then graduate and then go into marketing and have just been working in marketing since. It's
right.
had its twists and turns, and I think I found my way to kith and kin. But at a very young age, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I know my mom would say this now, but she's just like, you are way too stubborn to stay in your whole life.
That's a nice way to put it.
you need to either be a lawyer or you need to start your own thing. And so law school did not seem viable for me.
Fair enough.
Too black and white, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think with entrepreneurship, it allows me the ability and the opportunity really to be creative and think out of the box and kind of do what I want.
That's fair.
It's always been my personality. But why Kith and Kin specifically was when my parents moved back to Asia a few years ago. Growing up, I've had these Chinese herbal soups that my mom would make or my grandparents would make. And, you know, they would try and tell me, oh, this is what you put in it and this is why it's good for you. But knowing that they're there all the time, if I needed soup, they would make it. I never really listened. I think that would resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah.
So when my mom and my parents both moved back to Asia, there was one day where I was just craving these really homey, comforting, warming broths that just felt like home. And I called her, FaceTimed her, and asked, okay, mom, I want your soup. You're not here. How do I make it?
Right.
And she goes, well, you know, grab these herbs that I've never heard of. And she's got like a whole cabinet full. And, you know, we FaceTimed. I'm like, okay, is it this box?
Is it this box?
She's like, no, yes, no. And then how much of each herb and what the mixes are. And then the actual ingredients you put in it kind of differ by family. And for me, I just had no clue. And I had really just wished that I had listened. And then I felt like, you know, I would go ask my friends, my Asian friends, hey, do you know how to make soups? And a lot of them are like, nope, like mom makes it, or I just go over to my grandma's. And that's when I found an opportunity where I feel like a Asian Canadian, you know, first, second, third generation. I've got friends who have, you know, were born here, who moved here, who have had grandparents who've lived here, who've been here like for generations and generations. We're not in tune with our culture as much. I think I find that I don't know where else, but I can speak for Vancouver and just my experiences here is just, I feel like we are such a multicultural city that we lose our own roots in learning other people's cultures and whatnot and incorporating. It's great, but I feel like for myself, at least, I was not rooted in Chinese culture and tradition and knowledge.
Right.
So that's when I felt like, okay, well, if no one's going to do it and I can't find anything out there that's easily accessible, that's, you know, modern and people would want to gravitate towards. So that's kind of how I started Kith and Kin and realized there was an opportunity that, that we have here in Vancouver.
Yeah. And I think the great part about that story and that origin story as well is the similarities that, you know, obviously going into this episode, you're my 65th episode now. And a lot of similarities that I listen to when I speak to individuals like yourself is one, understanding kind of like the roots of yourself. In your case, it's like the roots of your family and your culture and everything like that. But for someone else, it might be the roots of who they are as an individual, roots of their passion or whatever the case might be. But at the end of the day, it's understanding and really honing on that why, I think, is something that gets resonated a lot and spoken a lot through these episodes, is understanding the why you're starting a certain thing. But I think on top of that as well is also just finding that hole in the market, right? And I think, you know, to put it in layman terms or the simplest form possible, that's really what entrepreneurship is you find a problem where you're trying to solve a hole in the market, and you try to obviously create a business that fulfills that need or solves that problem, right? So it's a nice way of a reflection of both, right? Like the simplicity side of things where it's business related, but also understanding your why and bridging those two together, I think, is always nice to hear when it comes to these episodes. And obviously a main reason why we do these episodes is to hear that story, when a lot of people just see the business from a social media perspective, right? Or the website, where it's, you know, very nice product photos, very nice copy, everything's well set up. But understanding the person behind that business, the brand, and understanding their why, I think, is a really a nice component, and one that kind of fulfills everything. Everything makes go full circle. So what has been kind of like your experience so far? And when actually, how long ago did you start that?
I was just thinking that. I was like, oh, 2020, when did I start this? I started this 3 years ago.
Okay. Oh, so when you went to the like Juice Labs event, you were just recently?
No, about that a year was in, a roughly? Year ago. So I would say probably 2 years before that, a year and okay. a bit before that. Yeah.
Gotcha. And how's that been, that process, or, you know, that journey so far? Obviously 3 years is not, it's a long time, but also like big picture, it's not really, like, time flies within 3 years, and 3 years, a lot can happen. Can you share a little bit more about that journey and how that's been for you so far? Ups and downs?
For sure. I think I can start with the ups.
Good news first.
Right, good news. And then maybe I'll end with a little good news as well. I think it's just I found my passion project. Mm-hmm. And I see it as a passion project and not like my source of income. Do you know what I mean? It's what I really am passionate about. It's something that I want to do. So regardless of whether it's, you know, tanking or like it's like growing exponentially, obviously that would be wonderful. But it's just, I think I always just start every day with that mindset of, okay, this is actually what I want to do. And I check mm-hmm. in with myself, like, is this still it? Is this still right. what I want to do? And I think I can confidently say yes. And I think after 3 years, I'm still here and still very passionate about it. For me, that's a win. I think, especially for myself, I get distracted and I get bored quite easily. And I think that's also why the corporate world is not always the easiest path for me. Mm-hmm. Just because I get bored really easily.
I can relate. There's definitely days, you know, I'm also like a marketer by day. So on the digital side, so there's days where it's like, okay, I'm just looking at the potential, the same ads or stuff like that. So it's definitely, I can definitely relate when you kind of bring that up. And I'm sure other people can as well. We're not the only ones. I hope not.
I hope not. If we're not, please let us know. Okay, we need to feel better this sunny day. And I think another good is just, I think the small business community in Vancouver is pretty great. Like, mm-hmm. I've made a lot of great contacts, met a lot of wonderful people and new friends just through this journey. And I don't think I ever would have if I had not started Kith and Kin. And mm-hmm. so I think through this journey, I keep learning and building a community. And I think those are the things that I value so much from my experience as a small business owner here local in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of just the great parts. And obviously the bad parts are, you know, things are hard, right? Like, you gotta full time, and then you work on this passion project, but it's not always easy. You don't always want to, you know, dedicate time and resources and just so much. You pour your like heart out. Like for you in this podcast, you interview people, you are literally sitting here building community and you're pouring your heart and soul into this. Similarly with Kith and Kin, that's what I do with my products and hoping to build a community where we can all share our own experiences with Chinese herbal wellness, with traditions, with culture. But yeah, it's just sometimes it gets really hard to keep going. But I've just learned to trek through. So yeah. I think those would be the tough parts. COVID has always, you know, for everyone, it's just been a tougher, you know, year and a, what are we now?
A year and a half now. almost 2 years. Don't even remind me. Yeah.
I think it's just, it's hard because, you know, we don't have in-person events really. And when there are in-person events, for myself at least, I'm a little more adverse that way where, you know, I'm not sure if it's safe. Like, and I think as a company that serves like tea and soup products, people may be less willing to actually try it in person, you know? So that's been tough. But the good thing is it's forced me to really focus on my digital and online presence and my online store, which really is what I wanted to do because I wanted to be able to share all my products in a modern and easily accessible and convenient way. And so I think online shopping is really super simple.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not an e-commerce, like if you're not selling on e-commerce, that's definitely a big market that you're missing out on, right? Just in general, like even pre-COVID, that was obviously a growing kind of field. But now even more than ever, it's almost everyone wants to have it online. And also with the implementations of like the social media platforms, Instagram, where you can shop online now through the app. And you think TikTok as well, at least in the Asian markets right now, they're kind of experimenting with live shopping and everything like that. So yeah, having an e-commerce store is definitely a almost a must, I think, at this point, unfortunately, whether business owners like it or not, you have to be online to some form or capacity. I wanted to actually circle back to one of the things that you brought up, and one of your good things, one of your good news was the aspect of community in the sense of other small business owners. Myself, personally, I've met a lot of great people, obviously, through this podcast, through my projects, through events as well, etc. What advice or what would you recommend to someone who's listening in right now who has an idea or just maybe started their business a couple months ago and wants to connect with people within kind of like the small business community? Obviously, some recommendations might be COVID-averse or COVID-restricted, but from your experience, what would be some good things to kind of keep an eye out for? Any groups on social media, Facebook? I know those are pretty big.
Honestly, I guess I'm more old school, but I would really just recommend you reach out directly to whoever you're interested in and have, you know, it's hard, but have a virtual coffee chat, like get them a Starbucks gift card so they can get their own coffee, or like do something a little more personal and ask for their time. I think from my experience, a lot of local entrepreneurs are so open and happy to share their story and their experiences. And, you know, I've come across some who are like, well, you know, like you're going to have to pay me for this. And, you know, that's unfortunate, but then you
go. Actually heard that.
Yeah. So I've come across a couple, where I was like, okay, that's totally fair. Right. Like if that's how you do business, that's how you do business. You know, that's how you make money, and that's great. Not what I'm looking for. So I'm looking just to have a conversation and learn. But I think a lot of people are open to it. I mean, if someone reached out to you, would you, Aaron? Like, I think
ask for money?
No. Like for for advice. Like if someone just reached out and said, hey, Aaron, like I just, you know, want maybe
a quick
hour chat, 20 minute, half an hour chat to talk about what it's like to start a podcast and how to build a community and what tips and tricks and what, you know, what things I should look out for. I think we're all here. I think there's enough room for everyone to win.
Mm-hmm.
And from my experience, for the most part, it's been really great just reaching out and people responding back.
Yeah. No, for sure. It's funny that you mentioned that. Actually, yesterday at the time of this recording, I actually had a coffee chat with a business student from UBC. And they were interested in going into like the creative field as well, understanding a little bit more about what that meant, photo, video, et cetera. And then, just had like a great open conversation with them. It's funny though, because I was in their shoes just not too long ago. I graduated, you know, May of 2020. So I was definitely I still am doing coffee chats and still obviously trying to connect with people. And this podcast is maybe even some of them as well. So I think in general, it's just a matter of reaching out and putting yourself out there, right? Just taking the plunge. And then, you know, they might reply, they might not reply, they might leave you unread, they might, you know, whatever the case might be, but at least you tried and you just kind of keep going and try to see who you can meet and can also open doors for you, I think, as well. That's another thing, maintaining that relationship.
Yeah. And like, it's hard to, you know, take rejection sometimes, you know, like what you had mentioned, just being left on unread or like, or even they just read it and not respond. I don't know which one's worse, honestly.
At that point, I'm like, I think I'd rather you just say not seen.
Or like not, you know, just say no, you're not available. But I think it's like, don't take it personal. Like I know I've missed a few emails, but that's just...
People are busy,
right? Yeah. Like it's not a personal thing. It's not because, oh, you're Aaron and I don't want to talk to you. Like that's definitely not the case. And I think it's just, you know, getting that out of your head, I think would be another advice. Just do it.
Yeah. And sometimes it's timing too, right? Sometimes, you know, people are starting to launch either a new product or a new project or a really busy, you know, time of the year, end of the quarter, whatever. You just have to reconsider those things as well. And maybe, you know, trying again in a few months or a few weeks, just following up. It's really just being to understand as well that at the end of the day, people are giving up their time or giving you their time. You have to respect that as well. And sometimes people aren't able to do that for whatever reason, right? So that's just the, I don't want to say the networking game, but the realities of networking, right? And sometimes people fail to realize that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I think one important thing is just once you've had, like you have the benefit of their time, like come prepared.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
100%.
People reach out and they just... like, oh, so, you know, how's your day? And yeah.
If I just wanted to talk, I'd talk to my dog or something like that.
I kind of have a lot of things to do. So like, how can I help you? I think that's probably something important as well.
Yeah, just coming with a couple of questions. Looping back to the student that I spoke with yesterday, she came in with like a notepad and had like five or six questions, and it was not necessarily straight to the point, but like I knew that she was prepared and wasn't just kind of asking me questions out of the blue. She had done her research on my LinkedIn, my website, stuff like that. So realizing that as well, it will probably give them even more of a reason to have a good, like leave a good impression, right? So if you do look back, you know, a couple months later, a year later, they'll probably end up remembering, Aaron came prepared, he had a couple of questions, let's see if I can connect with him with my friend Chris because he's looking to hire for whatever, right, or whatever the case might be. So all those like these little tips and tricks that, you know, unfortunately I personally did not learn in school, you know, or anything of that matter,
not really learned like or taught in school.
Or taught, yeah, which
you
is
kind of just have to figure it out. And I wish there were classes or something like networking 101, like literally have that course.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of hidden, you know, tips and tricks that I think a lot of people would benefit from. And just make better use of people's time. I think that's also an important thing. So anyways, this is not a networking tips and tricks. If you want us to start a networking 101 class, Vivian and
I think Aaron and I will just do a side podcast for that.
Exactly, right? But no, looping back a little bit more in terms of kind of like the business side of things and everything like that, I think another big aspect, and you kind of touched upon this a little bit, but I'll just dig a little bit deeper. And we usually ask this question as well to a lot of our guests, is the topic of balance, right? And understanding how to not burn out. Obviously, as you're aware, as an entrepreneur, as a business person, as someone who's also working, you know, a day job, it can get difficult, and you can definitely start to realize that your passion project, even though you love doing it, sometimes you're just like, oh, I just want to relax, yes, drink some tea, have some coffee, watch whatever is trending on Netflix for the month, yeah, and then just, you know, call it a night. So can you share a little bit more about kind of how you keep yourself in on track, whether it be time management or there's days where you don't work no matter what? You know, I know some people that we spoke with, they have Sundays off, just that's their day. That's their recharge day for their family, day for themselves, whatever the case might be. Do you have like something like that, or just maybe any general things to go over when it comes to the topic of balance and burnout?
Yeah, for sure. I think balance is very important. And I mm-hmm. think it's, even though it's important, I think it's even harder now during COVID. Yeah. I wouldn't say everyone, but a lot of people who have desk jobs are, you know, working from home, and, mm-hmm. you know, you hear about and you read all about burnout at work because you're constantly connected. Now your workplace is your home.
Is your home, yeah.
Is your workplace, right? So then how do you distance yourself from that? And I think for me, it's a lot of just self-awareness and knowing when you need time and when you need a break. And mm-hmm. I don't necessarily commit to like a day a week where I'm like, okay, well, you know, Saturdays are just for whatever, and like I work all the other days, or tonight, you know, Friday nights I never work. Mm-hmm. I think I give myself the flexibility to know when I need a break, and I'm right. just, it's just being in tune with like what you need, really. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to know though, like when you're being lazy and when you actually need a break and you're, right. you know, on the verge of a burnout. I think if you just don't want to do it because you're like, oh, this is a hard task, I just don't want to do it, that's very different than I really need a break. Otherwise I can't show up as my best self, mm-hmm. as, you know, a friend, a partner, a dog mom. so I think it's really being real with yourself and knowing, okay, I'm just being lazy today. And it's mm-hmm. okay. Give yourself grace, yeah. right? It's fine. If you really,
those days.
Like, yeah, you're like, okay, well, I'm just like going to Netflix and drink tea or like yeah. have, you know, chips and whatever all day. And that's totally fine. And that's balance as well. Right. So you can go really hard and then you can, you know, rest hard too. And I think everyone has their own way. I would never impose my idea of balance and self-care onto someone else because, mm-hmm. you know, what you need is very different from what I need and very different from what, you know, my partner needs and all that. So it's just know when you need a break and why, I think is probably
that's the key
answer. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah. I think for many people, it's just, again, the self-awareness. I think you brought that up also at the beginning of the episode of how, and for me personally, that was like a big game changer, especially with COVID, yeah. is like the self-awareness aspect, because prior to COVID, I was never really, you know, at home. I was either at school or just at cafes, studying, working, et cetera. So for me to be, you know, locked in and just like kind of confided, or yeah, like being just stuck at my home, it was like, okay, I need to be aware of how I can now make the disconnect from work and from, you know, play or relax time. Because this desk, as many people see, this is Aaron's zone. This is the cave or whatever you want to call it. This is where I so yes, my infamous red chair, or famous, I want to say famous red chair. Many people see that. And for me, it was like, this is where I was pretty much my entire days were spent on this chair, on this desk. So having that disconnect and that awareness was definitely important, or else it was starting to get honestly a little bit unhealthy of not being able to really disconnect myself from work and just understand that I'm here just to relax, or the other way around. There'd be days where I should be working or I'm just kind of relaxing. Right. So it definitely goes both ways, unfortunately. What, a bit of a rapid fire question here. What is your go-to show right now? What are you watching
right now?
As a little relax.
I just started, what is it called again? This Is Us. I think it's five. Yep. I remember just bawling my eyes out season one. Oh my gosh, this is the best show ever. Now it's season five, and I am sure I'm going to binge that. I wouldn't say I just finished, but I recently watched Squid Game.
I was going to be about to ask. I still haven't watched it.
You need to, please.
Okay. It'll be my weekend show.
Pop culture. You just have to be on it.
I know. I feel so bad. I see all the references and the memes online. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. I have a WeWork office, and we just had a Halloween party. The community team held a Halloween party, and it was a Squid Game themed party. So I'm there, and I'm like,
what is happening? Yeah. What's
going on? I just know the costumes.
Yeah.
The costumes and the cookie. That's all I know.
That will make sense when you watch it. And I think that movie just, it's obviously a Korean series show.
Series show. Yeah. Drama. Yeah. I don't even know.
Netflix show. And, it's a great success. And for me, I always, before I even knew it was a big success, I just saw it on my, it was top 10 in my Netflix forever. And so I'm like, okay, I feel I need to watch this now. And it's just, I think celebrating the success of Asian media as well, right? Mm-hmm. And really understanding just how the world's shifted.
Yeah.
From just Hollywood to, now the online space, and now, celebrating and really embracing Asian filmmakers. I think it's so great. So it's always been a goal of mine to support more Asian, whether it's businesses or filmmakers or whatnot. So
And I think even the director, producer, someone, or the creator of the show, I don't know if you saw, I saw a couple of pictures online that he was essentially didn't have very much money to his name. His script kept getting rejected, and that's just a beautiful story of adversity and just really understanding this is gonna work. Exactly. Resilience, right? Yeah. So which is, I think, the unfortunate part for every Squid Game, there's also a bunch of other shows that unfortunately don't get the limelight, right? So it's nice to see that. And I think the last, at least for in my experience, the last time that something has happened to this kind of level was Parasite. With that movie as well, right? So if there's always ways. I did. Yes. Okay. It was very, very good. Very, very, very good.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good. Yeah, a little intense. No, but it was a very, very good film, and very well deserved, obviously, awards as well. So, that's just a way to again, as you said, to embrace the culture and your background, and just be able to support as many people as you can within that community. So, it's always nice to hear. But again, this is not a Netflix and Share story podcast or anything like that. We are unfortunately
a lot of side shows we need to do. We've got networking, we've got Netflix,
Netflix reviews.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. We keep an eye out for 2022. It'll be a collab podcast. No, but thank you, Vivian. I really do appreciate your time. And unfortunately, we are nearing the end of the episode now. So as the finale, as the farewell, again, for people who tuned in to previous episodes, they know what's coming up. But what piece of advice would you give to your younger self, whether that be yesterday, 5 days ago, a month ago, years ago? What piece of advice would you share to yourself?
Yeah, because I'm not so young anymore. I'm going to think back to like young self. And I would say just go for it and take risks, because time is the one thing you can't get back. And so when you go and obviously don't, you know, be dumb and
there's a difference. There's a fine line.
Like being lazy and like, you know, there's a difference. The more risks you take, I think you just start to learn more about yourself and what you want to be doing. And I think, at least for my life, it's been a lot of process of elimination. So I wouldn't have been able to figure all that out if I had not taken risks. So I wish I took even more risks, you know, working elsewhere and, you know, starting maybe a business earlier and doing all those things. But, you know, here I am. This is wise advice for my younger self. Take risks. Don't be afraid to fail. Because, like I said, it's a journey, and you'll just find your way through all the ups and downs.
Yep, it is a journey, and it's a learning one as well. And I like how near the end as well, the sun to your right is just beautifully nice gleam. It's like the perfect ending to the episode. If you don't know what I'm talking about, and you're only tuning into the audio version, these podcasts are available on YouTube. Link down below as well for everything like that. But Vivian, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. It was very nice hearing more about yourself, your story, and actually being able to have a wonderful conversation with you. As I said earlier, we met a couple of years ago, so being able to dive a little bit deeper into your background was very nice. So I really do appreciate that. Do you have any shout outs, anything you'd like to say to people tuning in? Where can they find you? This is your 30 seconds plugs. Go for it.
Oh my goodness. Well, I want to say thank you, Erin, so much for including me into this wonderful podcast and giving me the platform and space to share my story. I think it's so meaningful what you're doing and sharing all the small businesses here in local in Vancouver. Your audience, you guys are looking for me, you can find me at kithandkin.com or on Instagram at kith_kin. And if you want a coffee chat, just figure out a way to find me.
Two ways.
Yeah, not in a like a crazy stalking way, but you know, like in a professional way, come find me. I'm happy to chat.
Sounds good. We'll make sure to put everything in the description as well. Website, socials, everything like that to make it a lot easier for people to find you. And you're very welcome, Vivian. I appreciate it. As I said before, and I'll say it again, this podcast would not be possible without people like yourselves who are actually taking the time to obviously come on the show, but also to actually venture out of their comfort zone and start a business, right? So I wouldn't really have much content if there was no, you know, local businesses to chat with. So I get the easier part of that equation there. But yes, thank you so much, everyone. We do appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in again to episode number 65 of Beneath Vancouver Radio. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all streaming platforms. And we're also available on YouTube if a video podcasts are your cup of tea instead. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see you around. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.